Okay, if you remember, we're on the fourth line, Ravina Omar. This is now, I think, the sixth or seventh explanation of the machlokas between Ramea and the Chachamim. And pretty much all the terutzim we've seen so far, the various explanations, can be split up into two groups. We have the first couple of explanations, which is either that there's a general machlokas about Laz or about Kovod for the Rishonim, whereas the last few answers have been very specific scenarios, and they've all been to do with Hasra. Either that there was Hasra on Misa, but not which Misa, or an Eishes Chaveira, so there was no Hasra, or Hasra for Malkus and not Misa, etc., etc. So we now come to the sixth Teretz, and we began this at the end of yesterday by posing the Shailas, how do we view a group of Eidos when there's more than two? After all, we know we only need two. So when you have three, do we just ignore the third and say that because he's redundant, we don't need him, therefore he's irrelevant? Or do we treat him the same as the rest? So now, this is a lengthy piece of Gemara, so we have to try and do it in one shot. Fourth line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ravina Omar. Kegoin shenimtza echod min ha'edim korev oposel. We're talking about one of the edim was found either to be a relative, he therefore became disqualified, or posel. Posel means he wasn't a relative, but he was disqualified for other reasons. We know there are several examples of somebody who's considered posel leedus, whether it's based on averas that he has done, etc., etc. So now we need to ask the big question. What's the halacha when one of the Eidim are found to be posel? So before we continue, look immediately at Rashi on the first narrow line. Echad min ha'edim. Says Rashi, we're talking about v'hoyu shom shloisha oyarba'o. We're talking about, again, a very specific scenario in which there were more than two Eidim. Rather, there were three or four. Sheyecholo edus lehiskayim b'shar. The edus is able to stand with the rest. So if I've only got two witnesses, well, obviously, we all understand that if one of them is found to be disqualified, that's the end of the edus, because I don't have two left. But where I've got more than two, says Rashi, I've got three or four. So the Eidos could, in theory, be miskayim. It could be maintained, Bashar, with the remaining two. So when the third aid goes, do we say with that the whole group goes or no? The third one is disqualified, but we still have two more. Says the Gemara. The komiflagi beplugta de Rabbi Yosi, the Rebbe, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. This is a little bit complicated. The machloikas in our Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim about whether you need three or 23 dayonim parallels the machloikas between who? Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi, according to Rabbi Akiva. So there's a lot of names flying around over here. It sounds complicated. Let's try and simplify it. The Tana, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva Oima. Loi bo shlishi elo lahachmir olov. The third one only causes chumras. Which third one? What third one? What's he talking about? So have a look at Rashi immediately. Ho de Rabbi Akiva b'mesechtes makoi, says Rashi. Loi bo shlishi. Which shlishi? The third one. Which third one? D'mimash mashanema. Seeing as it states, al pi shnayim edim, quote unquote. Al pi shnayim edim is a quote of a pasuk, and it says, that a psak halacha will always be in accordance with two edim. So if that's the case, kol shekein shloisha. So obviously, if I have three edim, well, that's even better. If the Torah tells me that two will suffice, obviously three. If that's the case, lomo nemar, why does the Torah need to add the following phrase, quote unquote, oy shloisha edim, question mark? If you look in the Torah writes, al pi shnayim edim, oy shloisha edim. Once the Torah writes that two suffice, why must the Torah now add all three? It's obvious. So what's the Torah being mechadish? Hello, here comes the answer. Lahachmir olav. The third aid causes a chumrah. What does that mean? Litein chaymer ba'edei sheker. To add a stringency in the event that you have false witnesses. Sheshlishi zeh. This third aid. Af al pi sheloi hoyozeh nidan al piv lemisa. Even though we don't need to judge according to his mouth, the death penalty. I don't actually need him. Why not? Shehare b'shnayim, because I have two. Sheyidu tchila, who have already given their testimony. Nami hoya nidoin. He would have been judged anyway. So Reuven is interrogated, first aid. Shimon is interrogated, second aid. If you would press pause over here, that already constitutes a cut edus, and the victim would be sentenced to death. So I don't actually need Levi, the third one. Got Reuven and Shimon, that would suffice. Afilu hachi, nonetheless, this is what the Torah is adding when it says, oi shlishi, oi shlishi edim. What's the Torah adding? Afilu hachi, also hakosuv, the Torah, the kosuv, scripture, that which is written, the Torah has made es dinoi, the din of the third, Kiyotze Ba'elu, exactly the same as the first two. I might have said, what was the question? If the Torah writes that two Edim suffice, why does the Torah have to add all three? That's obvious. The answer is, it's telling you a tremendous Chumrah, that even though the third aid, L'chaira, is redundant, I don't actually need him. So I would have thought that his edus now is irrelevant. And even if it turns out that he's a false witness, it's irrelevant. I can cut him out because I've got Reuven and Shimon anyway. Komash Mulon, the Torah says, no. You consider him exactly as you would have considered Reuven and Shimon. Such that, says Rashi, She'im huzmu. What happens if this group were turned out to be Edim Zaymamin? So, Reuven, Shimon, Levi all gave Edus. Along come Yehuda and Yisachar, and they say to the three of them, Imanu Hayisem, how can the three of you say that you are with us after all? How can you say that he committed the Avera? You were with us on the same day in this different place. So we know what happens to the false witnesses. They get punished, the exact same punishment that they were trying to inflict. So there would have been room to discuss that what? Perhaps Levi, albeit he is a false aid, maybe he should be off the hook. Why? Because I didn't actually need him to enforce the death penalty. Reuven and Shimon sufficed. Reuven was first, Shimon was second, and Levi was a redundant third. Says Rashi, that's the tremendous chumrah over here, that no, we consider you as important, as integral, as we do Reuven and Shimon, and therefore the third aid will be killed as well. Do you know why? Says Rashi, Mipnei Shen Nitpal Lo Iver Avera. What does Nitpal mean? Like from the word Tofel, Iker V'Tofel. Because he is now part and parcel of a group of Avrei Aveira. If you are part of that group, then we do not treat you any differently from the rest of the group. Therefore, instead of saying, well, yes, I'm a false witness, but you didn't need me, because he would have been sentenced to death anyway. You're right, we didn't need you technically, but once you are part of that group, we do not split the sentence. If the sentence is going to be chal on that group, then it includes you. You decided to be a nitpal. You decided to hang on to this group. Therefore, you've got to take the rough and the smooth. That's how Rabbi Akiva learned the pasuk.
Is Shlosha teaching us that it's only one more mamish, or that the list goes on after two?
All along. Rashi said before, three or four, even a thousand.
I don't understand the Havamina to think that he wouldn't be chayav me. So the isser of what he did is on himself. So just because whether he's considered Eidus or not, he was over an Avera of lying and trying to have someone killed.
So. Avera is not for lying. There's no punishment of death for lying.
For lying in the event that would cause someone else's death, there's no individual Avera?
That's the Chiddush. He didn't cause somebody else's death. He would have been killed without him as well. He didn't cause anybody's death. The punishment is not for lying. Lying is not punishable by death. Edim Zeimamin is a special punishment for wanting to carry out a death penalty. You were about to get this fellow killed. So Levi could say, no, I wasn't. He would have been killed anyway. The Chiddush is, you're right. I didn't need you. He would have been killed anyway, but you were part and parcel of the group, and therefore I don't treat you differently to Reuben and Shimon. Look back now into the Gemara. The Tanan. Now we'll understand what the Gemara is saying. The Tanan, Rabbi Akiva says, Loi bo shlishi. Now we know what it means, Loi bo shlishi. This third one, which third one? When the Torah talks about the third aid and we're trying to work out what does that add? It's irrelevant. No. Loi bo shlishi elo lahachmir alov. As a chumrah, laso is dinoi, to make his din exactly the same kiyotze be'elu, exactly the same as the other two. Now, in parenthesis, so that we shouldn't lose the trail, the next few lines, as it were, go in parenthesis. In Cain, says the Gemara, you see over here, the Mishnah now throws in a line of Musa, then we'll get back to the halacha. But it's as if this goes in parenthesis. Im kein onush hakosuv es hanitpal lo'ivre aveira ko'ivre aveira. If you see that somebody who hangs on to a oivre aveira is treated himself like an oivre aveira, so surely if that's true in the negative, kol shekein is true in the positive. Alachas kamo v'kamo, so too, and even more so, she yishalim schar es hanitpal lo'ose mitzvah ko'ose mitzvah. If you hang on to a group of Roshoim and Ovre Aveira, we treat you like an Ovre Aveira. So kol shekein, if you are part of a group of an Ose mitzvah, whatever the circumstance may be, then even more so, you will be considered worthy and you will get the schar as if you yourself were necessary for the mitzvah. Close parenthesis. So far we have seen that the shlishi, even though technically was unnecessary in inflicting this death sentence, but we consider him no differently than we do the other two. That is halacha number one. Says the Gemara, there's another halacha as well. And what is that? Umashnaim. Just like in the case of two, Nimtzo echod mehen koroiv oiposel, edusam betelo. Just like when two edim come to Bezdin. What's the halacha? If one of them turns out to be a koroiv or apostle, the answer is, obviously, the edus is botel. Why is that obvious? Because if I've only got two, and one of them is disqualified, then I've got no group of edus left. So here comes the big chiddush. Af shloisha, So too, Nimtza Echad Korev Apostle. Even if I have three, and one of them turns out to be a Korev Apostle, Eidusan Betela, then their Eidus is all bottle, minayin shafilu meyo, even if I've got 100 Eidim, Talmud Loima Eidim, because it says the word Eidim, and the Torah does not put a number on that. So we're still in the middle, but let's press pause for the moment. Rabbi Akiva has explained to us a difficult pasuk in the Chumash. The Torah says, Al pi shnayim Eidim, oy shloisha Eidim. If two will suffice, obviously three. So why does the Torah have to add that number three? The answer is, the third one is treated like the first two. What does that mean? Two nafkaminas lahalacha. Number one, that if they are found to be zomimin, they are all killed. We treat number three just like the first two. And halacha number two is, in the event that one of them, even the third one, is found to be a korov or apostle, even though I never needed him, nonetheless, the whole group is now disbanded and disqualified. So we are absolutely treating the third aid as if he was necessary. Really, he wasn't, because I've got two anyway. But we're treating the third just like we would the first two. And therefore, if the third one, when I've got three Eidim, one of them is a Korov or apostle, I don't say, okay, I'll disqualify him, but I've still got two left. No, it's one homogeneous group. Even 100 Eidim, says the Gemara, if one of them turns out to be a relative, all other 99 are all disqualified. That is all, one second, that's all the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now we have a machloikus, Rav Halton Kopp over here. We have a machloikus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi in the understanding of Rabbi Akiva. What's that? Says the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Bamed Varim Amurim. When was that halacha said? You just told me that if one of them is found to be a korev or apostle, the whole group is disbanded and disqualified. So Rabbi Yossi, in understanding Rabbi Akiva, says, "Bamed varam amurim bedine nefoshes." That's only true in cases of nefoshes. Aval bedine mamonos. When, however, you are dealing with monetary cases, then we don't say that the whole group is disbanded. Tiskayim Eidus Bashar. Then the Eidus will remain standing with the other Eidim. Rebbe Oimer, no. Echod Dine Momenus, Ve'echod Dine Nefoshes. Whether we are talking about Dine Momenus or we are talking about Dine Nefoshes, it's all the same. Okay, let's pause again. What have we got now? We've got Rabbi Akiva, who's a Tana, and now we've got a machloikas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, how to understand Rabbi Akiva. I know what Rabbi Akiva said. The question is, when does it apply? Rabbi Akiva said that if I have a group of more than two Eidim, whether it's three or four or 100, once one of that group, however large the group is, once one of that group turns out to be a korev or apostle, the group is disbanded and it is all annulled. Is that true in nefoshos and also in momonos? Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi. Rabbi Yossi says that Rabbi Akiva was only ever talking about dinei nefoshos. But dinei momonos is different. Why it should be different, we'll see in a moment. Whereas Rebbe said, no, there's no distinction. Whether you're talking about nefoshes or you're talking about momonos, makes no difference. Rabbi Akiva's rule always stands. Once one of the group goes, the whole group goes. The Gemara immediately now adds a qualification. Like I said, we have to hold cop because there's a lot of factors over here. V'emosai. When indeed does this rule apply? Bizman shehisru bohen. That's only if all three Edim actually gave the victim warning. So, numbers 1 and 2 and 3, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, were all watching Mr. Pliny be Mechalel Shabbos. All three of them went up to the Mechalel Shabbos and they said to him, listen, if you are Mechalel Shabbos, you're over an Aveira and you will get Skila. Did Levi need to give this fellow Hasra? The answer is absolutely not, because I had Reuben and Shimon. But he did so nonetheless. Why did he do so? I have no idea, but that's what he did. So that's when he becomes a fledged aid. That's truly called a group of three, such that if one of them go, they all go. Avol says the Gemara, Bizman Shaloi Hisru Bohen. What happens if he didn't warn him? Three people were watching, that's true. But the third one did not give a warning. The one, for example, who's a Korov, a relative of the victim of the Mechalel Shabbos, he actually, although he was an onlooker, but he didn't give him Asra. So how many Edim are we considered to have had now? In that case, that's not called three Edim. Now, do you remember the case we mentioned yesterday? Every time you go to a chuppah, why is the Eidos considered a good Eidos? You have 100 people there who are relatives. You know what the answer is? You're right that the relatives saw what happened, but they were never intending to be an aid. An aid is only considered an aid if you made yourself into an aid, not if you just happened to have seen what happened. Therefore, if you want to apply the rule that botlo miktsoso, botlo kula, if one of the group turns out to be a Korov, then the whole group is disbanded. That's only if the Korov made himself into an aid. How did he make himself into an aid? By giving Hasra. But if Reuven and Shimon gave Hasra, and Levi, who happens to be a brother of the Mechalel Shabbos, he just remained silent, then he never became an aid in the first place. And if he never became an aid in the first place, there you would not say, oh, I'm very sorry, there were three aidim, one of them turns out to be a relative, so the whole group is out the window. No, I wouldn't say that. Why wouldn't I say that? Because there were no three aidim, because the Korov never made himself into an aid.
Are we saying this? The Amosai applies to both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi?
Correct. In Dine Momonos. In Dine Nefoshes, sorry, excuse me, Dine Nefoshes.
So, Rebbe, getting more than two Edim is a total losing proposition. You don't benefit anything by getting the third Edim, and you risk losing correct. The whole thing. So why correct. Would you do that? Why would you allow that?
Yeah, correct. So therefore, says the Gemara, again, we said, Dine Nefoshes, everybody agrees that once one of them is a Korev, it all goes. Whether that's true in Dine Momonos as well, that's a machlekas. But either way, we certainly said that by Dine Nefoshes, everybody agrees, both Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, in their understanding of Rebbe Kiva, everybody holds it. When you're talking about Chilul Shabbos, or back to our case, Znus, if you have three Edim, one of them is a Korev, that then kills off the whole group. But the Gemara qualifies that. That's only when the Korev gave the Hasra. Again, second bottom line, the Amosai, when is that true? Bizman shehisru bohen. That's only true if they all gave warning. Avol bizman sheloi hisru bohen. But if the relative did not give warning, turning over the armored, ma yasu shnei achim. What should two brothers do if they just happen to be talking to each other and they watched a murder? The echod sheroo Ve'echod shahora ages hanefesh. Sorry, I put the comma in the wrong place. Ma yasu shnei achim ve'echod. Comma. What should two brothers and another individual? You've got two brothers. Reuben and Shimon are brothers, and they happen to be standing with Chaim. And they're having a chat in the street. Reuben and Shimon are brothers, and Chaim, who's no relative of them, and then all of a sudden they see a murder unfold in front of their eyes. So what are we going to say? All right, okay, it's all over. Because there's two brothers there, and they're a korev, and it kills off the group. No, because they never gave Asra. So, ma yasu shnei achim ve'echod. What should two brothers and another kosher aid, shero'u be'echod, shahorag es ha'nefesh? What should they do if they saw a murder? What are we going to do? They have to disqualify the whole aiders because there happened to be a relative there? The answer is no, because they absolutely did not intend to become an aid because they did not give hasra.
Wait a second. One second.
So now we have now all of the factors on the table. There's a lot of information. We're running out of time. We have to make sure we finish this today. I don't understand one thing. And we now need to work out how to plug this back into the Mishnah. We had a machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Reb Meir says that you only need 3 Eidos, and the Chachamim said you need 23 Eidos. So now this is the big Shaila. What on earth is the machlokes? That's what the Gemara is trying to work out. So according to Reb Meir says 3 Eidim, and the Chachamim said in the Mishnah 23 Eidim. So what's the machlokes? So according to the Gemara, Ravina has now explained, we have to set up a scenario which is as follows. We're talking about there were 3 Eidim. There were 3 Eidim. And if there were 3 Eidim, and one of them turned out to be a korov or apostle, does that kill off the entire group, or it does not kill off the entire group? So look quick, we have a whole bunch of Rashis, which we'll have to come back to. But look for the moment at the top Rashi.
The word korov at the beginning of this daf, You're saying that the two brothers are karov, but they're not karov to the person who made the avera. So why is it karov?
Makes no difference.
No, but I thought you were saying karov if they're apostle, if they're karov to the person that did the avera.
Makes no difference. If you're related to another age, you're related to the victim. If there's any relative in the story, you're out. Have a look
even
at Rashi.
Even if they're not related to the victim.
Correct. Says Rashi.
Ah,
Im Kain, top Rashi. Ma yasu shnei edim, shnei achim ve'echod kosheri mohem, shero'u be'echod shahorag es ha'nefesh. Says Rashi now, and this is really the crucial Rashi. Uplug de dremei v'rabonon. And the machloikus between Remeya and the Rabbonon back in our Mishnah, Nami is also dealing with a scenario like the one we just described. Kagoin. Shenim so echod min hashloisha koroiv apostle. We're talking about a very specific scenario in which there were 3 edim and one of them turned out to be a koroiv. However, v'ra'a v'shosak v'loy hisra. But this third one, who was a koroiv, he remained silent and he did not give hasra.
It can't be a case where only one was a karov if they're brothers. If they're brothers, there's two krovim. So when they say one karov, it has to be that it's karov to the victim. Because otherwise it would be two krovim if they were brothers.
I think he's frozen.
Oh, I thought he was just contemplating my brilliant question. Didn't this stay on my point, guys?